And so it is in this Christmas season that we remember best Christmas gift ideas. We are on the second sermon in this preaching series, the best Christmas gift ideas. And so in this season of gift giving, it's common, y'all, for advertisers, for people to tout and to share some of the best Christmas gift ideas for this season. As always, Oprah Winfrey, she's got her list of favorite things that are out there. She's got this list that she started many, many years ago, just so folk could know what Oprah was buying and what Oprah was giving away. And so I have not had the privilege of receiving one of her gifts yet, but she's got a bunch of gift ideas. If y'all want to look it up, you can Google it and see what Oprah says you ought to buy someone for Christmas. I remember, what was it, 2014, y'all? Christmas came early for some folk. It was September 2004, and Oprah gave away all of them cars. Like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. I was not there. I wish I would have get me a car. But here's the point. It's really nothing about the material things that we can buy people. Sister Love, nod your head. Say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Come on. I need your amen on that one. Yes, sir. That there are gifts, y'all, that are intangible.
Yeah.
They're priceless. There are gifts that you simply cannot buy with money. And so in this preaching series, I really want us to focus on just that. To think about some of the gift ideas, some of the things that we can give to one another, some of the things that loved ones can give to one another in this Christmas season that do not cost money. Doesn't make a difference how much money, how much, or how little you have. You can give these Christmas gifts to somebody. And so last week, y'all, we preached from the book of Colossians. The title of the sermon is, What Do You See in Me? Giving the Gift of Affirmation. We see how Paul affirms the church at Colossae, that he confirms their faith and their love for those that are around them, that he affirms their willingness to share the gospel, that biblical affirmation, it really starts with God. And I believe that we can continue to affirm one another in our faith and our love for God, our love for one another. This holiday season, today, we ought to be affirming one another in our faith and our love for one another. So turn with me in your Bibles, y'all, your electronic devices, or to the screen, to one verse, Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It simply says this: Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Preach from the thought, can I get your attention, please? Yes. Giving the gift of quality time. So imagine, Patrice, that you have a bank account that's set up in such a way that every day the bank gives you $86,400 a day. Every day you wake up, they put into your account $86,400. But here's the kicker. Every day, whatever portion of that money you did not spend, they debit it. They take it out of your account. Every day you get $86,400. So it kind of goes without saying. So what would you do by the end of the day with that $86,400? Would it be in your account? No. Some of y'all saying, yeah, no, it wouldn't be in mine. I'm going to bless somebody. We're going to buy something. But the bank account would be empty. There would be nothing in it. Well, here's the thing. We all have bank account of sorts, y'all. And that bank account is called time. All right. Every single day in our account, we have 86,400 seconds. The account carries no balance, no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account of time. Each night it burns the remains up. And so if you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss, y'all, the loss is yours. There's no going back. And so we have to live in the present on today's deposits. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. What we have is right here and right now today. And I believe this. A significant part of our spiritual growth and maturity is learning how to invest our time well. Because there's so many things that compete for our attention. Whether it's a job, going to college, whether it's Facebook, social media, video games, sports and entertainment. There's a whole lot that competes for our attention. And so for the purpose of this sermon today, as a priority, I want to see us focus and ask the question, how much time do we give to our relationships? How much time do you give to the people in your life that you say you love, that you care for? How much time do you give to your spouse or to your children? How much time do you give to the people that are in your sphere of influence? So I imagine sometimes the way a child, you see a small child and how they're trying to get mommy and daddy's attention, and they're going, mommy, mommy, daddy, 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 and mommy and daddy's putting their hand away, not right now, not right now, not right now. I believe there's some people perhaps in this room attuned in today that you've been starving from some attention from somebody, but somehow in their life it's always, not right now, not right now. Make sure you're not that person. If there's somebody in your life, in your sphere of influence, that needs some quality time with you, make sure you give them that quality time. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised. Amen. So Psalm 90 is the oldest of the Psalms. Said it was written by Moses. We know Moses as the great deliverer, the children of Egypt, Israel out of Egypt, that he was God's man, that he was the lawgiver to the children of Israel. And so although the children had been freed from the bondage of Egypt, their minds were still enslaved to an Egypt mentality. Know this, y'all. Listen, real freedom cannot be enjoyed until life is lived on God's terms. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. That real freedom cannot be experienced until we live life on God's terms. Israel didn't want to live life on God's terms, and they paid for it. Amen. So submit to God's purpose and timing for your life and live free. And so Moses witnessed, y'all, these people. And Moses would refer to them sometimes as a stiff-necked or a hard-headed people, that he walked with them, he journeyed with them, y'all, for some 80 years through the desert. But all you Bible readers know, you know the story that a whole generation died in the wilderness because of their disobedience. So contextually, as Moses is writing his song, his prayer, it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. I love that. The inscription, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Listen, to all the men, that's what we want in our title, to be a man of God. That Moses was God's man, that he was favored by God. He was chosen by God, that he was used by God. And God loved this man, Moses. But notice something, that it's probably praying for a new generation of people who would finally enter the promised land, that Moses doesn't ask for a life of ease. He doesn't ask to be removed out of his troubles. He doesn't ask for a longer life or riches or wealth. I mean, here they are tracing through the wilderness with the riches of Egypt. They're carrying it, and a whole generation doesn't make it in. A new generation is on their way in. And so what does Moses pray for? The whole they had gone through, right here in the text. Moses prays, Lord, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. That in this psalm, Moses, he really contrasts the eternality of God. This God who reigns supreme, who God has always been there, with the frailty and the fickleness and the faithlessness sometimes of human beings. The New Testament writer James says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. If there's one thing that the pandemic, praise God, is past, there's one thing it should have told us, y'all, is that we're fragile. And that life is uncertain. Yeah. That we don't know how long we're going to be here. So Moses is confronted with mortality and time. And guess what, y'all? Everyone listening in today, everyone under the sound of my voice, we're confronted today with the issue and the reality of mortality and time. You are not going to be here always, nor will I. Amen. So again, Moses prays. So teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. And so if we're going to make an investment of quality time in our relationships, that's what I want to focus on this morning. Then as a gift, then first, this is what we ought to do. We should give the gift of quality time to God. We should give the gift of quality time to God as a priority and first. Again, Moses understood the uncertainty of life, that life is short, but it's important. He understood the judgment of God, so he asked God to teach him again to make the most of his life, for us to make the most of our lives. Listen, God is not bound by time, that God transcends time, but we live in time, and we're bound by time, and we only have so much time. But I want you to get the gist of what Moses is saying in this psalm, y'all. Let's look at a few verses. Look at verse 1. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. That they went through the wilderness. They lived in tents, but Moses says, God, you are our home. You are our dwelling place. You are our refuge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world from beginning to end, you are God. He speaks of the eternality of God. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He always was, always is, always will be. He said, then he says, listen, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. That because of sin, we all have this appointed time. But one day, from dust we came, and dust we will return. Listen, he says, for 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours, or the watch night, or 4-hour periods. That time in essence is nothing to God. Again, because he always has been, always will be. But we live in time, y'all. And so we should trust our time to who else but to God. We should give the gift of quality time to God first as a priority. The worst thing we can do is manage our time as if it belongs to us. Time belongs to God. So ask him, and God will wisely give you what you ought to do, when you ought to do it, how you ought to do it. Time belongs to God, y'all. So ask him for wisdom how to best use it. Then we move forward. Then we can move forward in life with confidence. God will have to give us a course correct every once in a while. Anybody ever had some course correction in your life? Anybody had some God-ordained interruptions on this road before? That God will interrupt you. He'll give you some course corrections. But we have to follow God. Give some quality time to God. Give some time to God in prayer. Some time to God in devotion. Some time to God in study. Yeah, y'all, there's this story of this college professor that he taught a stewardship class in college. And he often told this story to his students. The story was talked about who owns your French fries. And so the story tells of a father who had a 5-year-old son that he took out to his favorite restaurant, and he bought him some French fries. As a matter of fact, y'all, he supersized the French fries. The father didn't want any French fries, and so he sits down in a restaurant with his 5-year-old son. His son is eating his French fries, enjoying his French fries, and all of a sudden the father reaches in to grab a French fry. The 5-year-old son slaps his hand. Dad is shocked, y'all. Dad was the source of the French fries. That he paid for them. That he gave him a larger order than expected. He supersized it for his son. That the father had the power to take away the French fries if he wanted to. He had the power to give him even more French fries if he chose to do it. That he was the source of his French fries. And so as the dad thought about it, it was really not about the French fries, y'all. What he was concerned about was whether the son, this five-year-old, would invite him into his little world to enjoy what the father had given him. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who owns your French fries? And all that God has blessed you with, and all that God, who owns your French fries? Who owns the time that you have in your life? Who owns the talents and the gifts and all that God has blessed you with? It's God. And so as a priority, we ought to give the gift of quality time to God first. Can you give God some quality time in your life? Second thing is this. We should give the gift of quality time to family, friends, and to others. Again, Moses recognized that a short life should be wisely spent. We don't have enough time, y'all, to waste a quarter of a minute or a second in our lives. That we're to use our time wisely. Without a doubt, the responsibilities and pressures of the world, they vie for our attention. We mentioned that. At any given moment, y'all, listen, a number of priorities and things are pulling at us in every direction. It makes it easy, though, for us to get swallowed up in mundane and petty things in life, things that really don't matter. In the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, he says in chapter 1, verse 10, he prayed that they would understand what really matters so that they could live a pure and blameless life. That's what we ought to pray for one another, that we come to understand in life what really matters. And here's what I believe, that people matter. Your family matters. Yes. Friends matter. Yes. The people that God has placed in your life so that you could make a godly impact, a Christ-like impact on their lives, they matter, y'all. You know, I realize it takes two people these days to provide for a family. Listen, groceries be high. Utilities, gas be high, y'all. And so I say this to any dual-income families in the house today. This, you don't have to trip. You don't have to go on a guilt trip because you can't spend a lot of the quantity of time with your children. But here's what I believe. You can give them quality time. You can have quality time with your children, quality time with your family. How many people are in a household that you come together and listen, all of a sudden you bombard the house and somebody's on a cell phone and somebody's doing this over here that we don't sit down and we have dinner together. The Uber man drops the food off at the house and you eat over there and they eat over there. Why not spend quality time together with your family? Sometimes I know you can come home exhausted and just tired. And sometimes we're consumed with so many other things that are going on in this world. So now we have folks working from home and we have these cell phones and we have these tablets and stuff and we can bring work home. And here we are, you know, and the children are saying, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, that we need to give time to our quality time. Can you just take a moment and focus on your children? Can you just take a moment and focus on your husband or your wife? Somebody wrote a song like this sometime. Can you focus on me? Baby, can you focus? Can you focus? Okay. Sister Jack said, cut that. She said, cut that. Husbands and wives, listen, you may have some different interests, y'all. But if you love your spouse enough, why not take some interest in their interest? Amanda, maybe sports was not your thing. But you know it's Quinn's thing. I don't know why he go for those Eagles. But anyway, it's K-Mac, the Commanders, I don't know, Doc. I don't know. But it may not be Amanda's thing, but that's her husband's thing. Yeah. So why not sit down with your spouse and look at the game on TV? Now who's that man over there and why he running the ball that way? Ask the questions. Spend some time together. Yeah. This is practical living. This is practical stuff, but it's important stuff, because far too many people aren't spending quality time together. That you can come together in the same house, but you're not together. Everybody's in their own room, in their own corner, doing their own thing. But God gave you that person in your life, that special person in your life, that friend in your life, to spend some quality time with them. It doesn't have to be quantity, but quality time. Cook together, shop together, vacation together. So that ain't my thing. I don't like going to the beach, sitting on the beach. I could be doing something else. Listen, if your spouse wants to go to the beach and sit back, kick back, and relax, go with him or her and do it. You just might like it. So, y'all, sometimes we can be a stick in the mud, y'all. I'm being straight up. Don't want to enjoy no life, you know. Just work until you die. I admire some of y'all. Y'all going on these vacations and gone for 2 weeks and doing all that. Just having fun. Do that. Enjoy the life that God has given. But do it together. So let me ask you a question. Do the people who are closest to you get only the leftovers of your time? Do the people who are closest to you only get the leftovers of your time and your attention? This last thing, y'all, and we'll be done. We should give the gift of quality time to ourselves. Now that may be a shocker to somebody. Maybe a real shocker. But know this, rest is a legitimate need and a good use of time. Now, I might be talking to some A-type personality stepping on some toes this morning, but listen, hopefully you got on some steel-toe shoes or some hard-toe shoes, but listen, some of us, we need to learn how to relax. Need to really learn how to chill out. We cannot neglect spending time with God, both in private and corporately. We're absolutely called to invest time in our relationships with other people, even in the work that we do, but we also cannot neglect the refreshment that God gives us through our time of rest. Rest is not wasted time. It's refreshment that prepares you to be better for yourself and to be better for those that are around you. It also reminds us that ultimately God is in control of our lives and God provides for everything we need. So take some downtime in life before life takes you down. Some people have this idea. They have this idea. Listen, if they're not present, if they're not there, if they're not engaged, involved, listen, everything gonna fall apart without you. Let me give you a wake up call. It ain't gonna happen. I've been around long enough to know. Listen, that if something should happen to me, you know, and I'm gone from here, That my full expectation is y'all gonna lay me out, make sure I got a good suit on, make sure send me to the right funeral home. I want to look good if I'm dead. I want to look out, make me look good now. But y'all gonna cry a few tears for me. Sister Jackie, she be hooked up. She gonna have, so you can't marry nobody else. But anyway, if you want, look, if you choose for this time, he can't have none of that insurance money, not a penny. but seriously though, listen, we need to learn how to relax, to chill out, y'all, because if we leave here, I leave here, listen, I know y'all just gonna, y'all, you do the macaroni and cheese at the end, repass, and, do the chicken. You got to do the chicken. You got to do the macaroni and cheese. You got to have some green beans or some grains. You have some lemon cake or some pound cake and some sweet tea or something like that. And you get up and you go on with life. That's what you ought to do. So if you really want to change your use of time, you have to learn how to rest. Rest your mind, refresh yourself, reset, take care of your body, eat well-balanced meals. Lord have mercy, help me today. I'm stepping on my toe. Eat some well-balanced meals, y'all. This is simple stuff, but it's practical stuff, and it's needful. So if you really want to change the use of time, this is what you need to do today. Take some time and reflect. Reflect in this moment. How do you spend your time on a day-to-day basis? What do you spend your time doing? What things are really necessary and important? Think about or look at your calendar and see, what is it on your calendar? What are the must-dos to make it from day to day? And what may not even be necessary? You simply don't have to do, but you do it because you just do it. Consider those things that are important to God in your life. Spending time with Him is important. Consider the time that you spend with your family and your loved ones and your friends. Quality time. This is important. Consider the time that you spend relaxing. Woosah. Refresh. Consider that time. Make a list of priorities and responsibilities and ask God to direct you regarding any changes that you need to make in your life. So this year, Oprah is sharing some gift ideas again, as she always does. But she's sharing gift ideas from small businesses, from business owners that are realizing their dream and they're trying to make it in this world. And so if you happen to buy one of these gifts, you're buying it from a small business, and so you're helping that small business out. So I have one such gift today. And so I don't know if y'all can see this, but man, it's nice. It's, I don't know if any of y'all into watches, but it's called this. It didn't break, y'all. It's called the spring break watch. A couple of young brothers from a historically black college, frat brothers, they graduated and they started their own business. And so they wanted to make a collection of watches that were sleek, that had a nice design and all of that. Notice that the color of this watch, the color is purple. Oprah Winfrey, the color purple. She got a hand in this stuff somewhere, y'all. But it's called the Spring Bake Break Watch. And some of y'all, maybe you've heard of it. On the watch, you see North Carolina 2016. That's when the business actually took off. And so just to support them, I decided to go out and buy one of these watches to support them. So Oprah got me on this one, y'all. She got me on this one. But as I look at the watch, it's a watch. It tells time. It's a nice looking watch. But the purpose of the watch is to tell time. It tells you what time it is on the clock. That the watch cannot give you time. It cannot take away time. That it could be a quality watch. It could be a Rolex. It could be a Timex. It could be a spring break. It could be a break easy. But at the end of the day, It's just a watch. And so I'm saying all of this for a reason. For all of us, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Lord, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. How will you give someone with quality time in this holiday season and each and every day? What time will you give to God? Will you spend a little time with your children or your grandchildren? Make some mud pies. Bake a cake in the Easy Bake Oven. Read together. Pray together. Play video games together. Will you spend some quality time on a Friday night with your spouse? Take her out for a date. Will you go on a beach vacation? Will you relax and know that if you're gone tomorrow, somebody will replace you, but relax? Will you give your loved ones or friends some undivided attention on the regular? Can they get your attention, please? Church, can we spend some time praying together? Worshiping and praising together, fellowshipping together, evangelizing together. Well, here's the thing. We best get to it, because here's the reality. The time is running out. Give the gift of quality time. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this simple but practical word today. Teach us to number our days, to understand that life is brief, that we're here today and we can be gone today. Let it be said of us that we gave quality time to those things that are important to you, that we give you quality time. Thank you, Father, for the gift of those in my life who give quality time to this ministry. That there's much work to be done, but many hands make it lighter. Thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for this entire congregation of your people who decide Sunday after Sunday to come into your house, oh God, to worship and to praise you, to give you what's due you. Thank you, Lord God, for this ministry. Thank you for the people that you placed in our lives, Lord God. We realize that one day time will run out. It will be no more as we know it. That the consummation of all things will take place. But in time, in the time in which we live right now, help us, remind us of the priority of time. To you, to our loved ones, to others, give time to ourselves. That this holiday season and every day, we're determined to give the gift of quality time. And Father, we remember in this moment that in the fullness of time, you sent your Son into the world, that he was born in a manger, that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he died. But the good news, he did not stay dead. He went to Calvary's cross, but 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hands. It's this Jesus that we serve. And God, whatever time we have left in this world, if we don't know if we'll leave here today or tomorrow, but whatever time we have, we spend it on those things that are a priority to you, a priority to Jesus. One of the greatest priorities is the relationships that we share. So we're determined to give the gift of quality time. Father, right now I pray for those who may not know you, the pardon of their sins. Let them know in this very moment, now is the time. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised, that they would give their hearts to Jesus. That we seek you while you may be found. Harden not our hearts, Lord God, but to be sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit, to listen to you. Now is the time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Now is the time to come to Jesus. Now is the time. We've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But Father, thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. It's him that we look to in this very moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.